Wow. Living stones. See, as God's speaking to us, it's really important that we pick out the key thing, not from a point of view of a kind of theoretical knowledge, but from a point of view of what does this mean to me? Application. And later on, maybe I'll talk to you a bit more about clearly God is not settled that we are where we are, stay where we are, and that's it. That's hardly within our DNA, is it? You know? But the development that he looks for is a people whose heart increasingly beats with his heart. And that's a development. There may be many routes for that to happen. And Hugh was just talking about that possibility there. Many things that we do that enable that to happen, but there's a dimension that really it's just a transaction between God and ourselves. That's, Lord, touch my heart. Lord, fill me anew. It's in that realm. And my sense is, and it's only been confirmed and compounded by what we've heard thus far, is that kind of God's after our hearts. He's after something not so much of an increased skill set, although that may follow, but of something that creates increased stir and desire and a hunger. And you know, that think back to that time when God first touched you, and not for one of us was it an intellectual exercise that we came as a result of being able to analyze the different faiths or truths. You know, God just got beyond, touched us. For me, I remember having had this background in I've been brought up in a sort of Pentecostal background, that one thing I was very sure about that I did was not interested in emotionalism. Now, some of you might find that easy to believe. But God is so good. When he reached out to me, he bypassed all that in favor of coming right to the heart. So we always want to pick up the things that we sense God is saying and directing us to. And now I've asked Sally if she'd come and share with us something she shared with me a few days ago, which I think fits into just where we are and what God's saying. And then we also thought that David and Amanda would be able to bring something to help us. Drawn really, I think, out of Crossroads stuff, if I remember correctly, isn't it? But so we'll do that, and then we'll see where we go after that. Do you want the clip on, or do you want
I can use that?
No, you want a real preacher, right?
Yeah. Okay, so if you remember I think it was a prayer meeting before last, when Jamie and I talked about the stuff from Nehemiah. It was more thoughts on that, really. And I'd been thinking and asking God, because I just felt like there was more that he wanted to say, and these were the things that I really felt. So the first thing was that he wants us to keep praying for compassion, that God hasn't finished with this yet, and that there's a move of his spirit coming which will bring us to a place of increased passion and compassion. And we know that compassion leads to action, so that's what our expectation should be. So as compassion comes, builders will come forward with willingness and vision to build up the ruined wall. So that was the first thing. The second thing was about the body of Christ, the fact that we're united but with many parts. Very similar to what Hugh was just bringing, really. So when you look at Nehemiah, the wall builders were a very varied lot. There were priests, there were families, there were groups of people building different parts of the wall and different gates. And as I've mused on that, I thought, well, they must have had different working styles and different practices. And probably, although the wall was, you know, one big, strong wall, it probably looked different in the different parts to reflect the different people who were building. And in Nehemiah 3:20, this is just one little bit that grabbed me. It said, next to him was Baruch, son of Zabbai, who zealously repaired an additional section from the angle to the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. And I just thought, I wonder what zealously repaired looked like. Did it mean that he was building faster than everybody else? Did it mean that he was putting twiddly bits on? I don't know, but I just thought, there's room there for us to repair the wall in our own way, with our own vision, but serving the corporate vision as well. So, and the sense that not everyone will be engaged in every part of the wall, but we're going to be stationed in groups and families along the wall and at the gates. So there'll be a unity of purpose and a commitment to making a unified, strong, functional wall, but there will be differences in style, and the gates may have different purposes, which they do in the story as you read it. And then something for us in our role as leaders, that we need to be crying out to God for his compassion for ourselves first. And that then as we do that, that we're to actively look around and see where there are tentative or dormant dreams, ideas, stirrings in the people we're looking out for, and to encourage them and help them to step out. So I was talking to somebody the week before last, because she'd happened to say to me that she felt, this is ages ago, that she felt she had something to bring for people with chronic illnesses. And it was one of those conversations that we had and then kind of left. And then I remembered and I went back to her and I said, is that still a stirring? She said, yeah, but I don't know what to do with it. But I've been writing about it. So we started to talk about it and think, well, how can that be something that I can encourage her in and she can bring to encourage those of us here that are struggling, that those at the hub and, you know, the places that we're reaching out to. But we need to be looking out for those people, because sometimes people will think, oh, well, that's just my little thing and it's not really worth it. But as leaders, we can spot that and we can get behind them and we can help them. Nehemiah says, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. He's passionate. Come on, let's do it. And the people replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they, and then it says that they began the good work. So it's about that passion. Come on, let's do it. And then the response we can expect is yes, let's. And then I had a picture. So I had a picture of the wall in the process of being rebuilt. I could see groups of us all along the wall and at the gates, busily building, but at the same time welcoming people who were streaming up the hillside towards the city. They were being welcomed in through the different gates along the wall. Some people had health needs and were going to a gate manned by those with a vision to see people's health improved. Some needed help with housing or family issues, or there were isolated people who simply needed to connect and belong. But whatever the need, they found their way to the right gate where people met them and welcomed them. And then at one gate, I saw a group of us with blankets. It was a bit like when you see on the news and you see after a disaster and there's medics with blankets putting them around people. And that's what we were doing as people arrived. And I think it was a representation of the compassion and hospitality that is amongst us generally, but is a particular thing for some of us. But then as I watched, I could see that blankets were also being passed along to all the gates. so that everyone could welcome in the same way, rather than just being preoccupied with their individual roles. So again, it's that sense of God will give us that individual thing to do, but there's also that heart of hospitality and welcoming that he's put in all of us, that we, we're doing the two things, and we're building, and we've got our weapons to, you know, send the enemy away. So yeah, that was really it.
There's a lot in that, wasn't it? I'd like her to say it again a bit slower. Unity in diversity. The recognition of different roles, different gifts, working together. Built his section zealously. There's a whole world of difference. Actually, on the outside, zealous and ambition can look very similar, but the root of it is very different. Zealous is about zealous for somebody or something. We're zealous for him. Ambition is about king for me, you know, my place. There's something to consider on that. And then Sally picked up about the blankets, and seemed to me she was bringing to us in every place, whatever the role, there's a fundamental element which is really about the compassion. Let's take a moment just to think about what we've just heard, and then we'll pray. But before we do that, because we want to listen with understanding and make sure we've grasped it, is an opportunity. Is there anything that you want to ask for clarity? We'll get Sally to expand it a bit more. I don't want us to just sort of go through the motions of doing something. I want us to be able to take these things seriously and do something with it, you know? Because we are committed, aren't we, to being a people that are hearers and doers of the word. So we can pray, but is there anything that you think, just let me get this clear, or just, yes, Richard. Did you hear the question? You're a teacher, you should speak to a whole class.
Yeah, it's the weekend though, isn't it? So, you said that we need to cry out to God for compassion for ourselves. Does that mean that we need compassion for ourselves or compassion for others?
No, that we need to ask God to grow compassion in us for others. So it's about expanding our heart. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about that? If that was on offer in a series of things as you walk down the street, would that be the one that you went for, or maybe something different? Eh? How many would go for that? Nobody's going to bite your fingers if you lift your hand up, you know. All right. Somebody else. Oh, Leonie. Same one. Yeah. This compassion thing has caught a couple of you, even though Richard's on holiday today. Anything else? Quinn. I appreciate that. because I really feel that every time we step forward and say, yes, I want to be more reflecting the heart of God, there is this, you're not using the term, but I'm going to use that term, that intimidation. Who do you think you are? Yeah. Well, can we just declare that whatever we might think, we're choosing to bring our thinking in line with the fact that we are the chosen of God, that He set His love upon us, that He's desired us, and that anything that mitigates or speaks against that is the intimidation of the enemy. And we could be really praying and asking for that compassion. Yes? All right, so before we pray, last chance, anybody else want? Yes? Yeah, doing different things, yeah. But still all building the wall. Yeah. Oh, it must have been amazing. You know, we're not talking about builders that have served time learning how to build. We're talking about every odd bod coming along, you know. I mean, how would a jeweler build as against somebody that, you know, a carpenter or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the mind boggles, doesn't it? Well, you don't... Oh, no, no, and in my day, you didn't do it like that. Oh, no, we were trained different. Yeah, but the wall's going up. Yeah, the wall's going up.
Daniel. But part of what Sally was talking about is looking for dormant dreams in others. Again, I heard you initially start saying...
Dormant dreams.
I mean, I think I was initially thinking about the people that we're looking out for, but I think because we're called to encourage and provoke one another, it could just as well be amongst, and should be amongst us. But I think for me, it was a challenge to what kind of conversations am I having with my friends, my peers, the people I'm looking out for, and am I thinking about you, or am I so caught up with me and what I'm doing that I don't have that headspace to think what's happening for Marissa and how can I encourage her? Because I think we're very task orientated, not necessarily in a wrong sense, but I think we're very good at getting on with what we do, and we are a action-filled church and body of people, but we never want to be doing that at the expense of building up one another and encouraging one another. So that was a challenge for me.
I hear that. Do you hear that?
Yes.
I think I want to give a big amen to that.
Yes.
Yeah. We never want to be so tied up with the thing that we're doing, even though it's legitimate, that somehow we lose sight of loving Him and loving one another. And that to be on the increase. And guys, let's face it, Sanballat and Tobias are around. And we are building a wall. And there is an equipping that's coming at this time. So we said we'd pray into that. So we're clear to pray into it now?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Let's stand together. I'm going to lead us in prayer. I suspect that God may give you something to pray over us. Can I just be clear about that? Something to pray over us. Yeah? Yes? Okay. Father, we receive your word. Unity in diversity. A difference. Yet everybody, as it were, having the blankets to give out. The compassion that constrains. Lord, we look to you for increase. Lord, touch our hearts. Lord, by your grace, protect us so that we never get caught up in our thing or ministry to the exclusion of expression of your heart for your people, for those that you put us alongside. Living stones. God, deliver us from being set in our ways, restricted in our thinking about what could be, limited in faith from what shall be. Lord, grant to us that childlike faith and belief and that readiness to be moved with compassion all over again. Renew us, Lord. Lord, increase that measure of compassion. Lord, you've called us to a great task. A great task. Grant to us, Lord, a new measure to embrace and to take joy in what we see is happening around us at the hands of those that you called to work with us. Give us eyes to see. Give us vision and ability to see with an expectation, a new measure to pray into it, a new compassion to be concerned for it. Lord of the increase. Lord, we just wait. We just receive from you. Just, Lord, you do that work in our hearts. Lord, we're hardly looking at particular strategies or tasks or activities. We're looking, Lord, at how it is to be living stones. We invite you to, right now, Lord, to bring your adjustment to us individually and where necessary corporately. Come, Lord. Once you've heard what Sally's brought to us and what you've heard earlier on through Hugh and as we worshipped, here's a moment now, if you've got something to pray over us, please do so.
Father, as we have our hearts set on pilgrimage, and our desire is to reach out and have our hearts open more and more to you.
Yes, Father.
Father, forgive us for not raising our hands quickly when John asked us about wanting more compassion. Forgive us for thinking in our heads, oh, how painful could that be? What could that be like? Father, forgive me and help me to embrace a growth of compassion in my heart that is for this season, that is for the next phase of what you have for me and my house. Father, here we are, here I am. Use me.
Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you that you've given us vision, Father. Thank you that you pour out your vision into our hearts, Father. And we don't keep it to ourselves, Father, but we offer it to you, Lord. And you pour it out through us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that I just pray release to every vision, every little
amen.
Thought, Lord, that comes, that's a seed from you, Father. Will just be nurtured and grown, Father. We'll be bursting forth like a really
yes,
amazing garden, Father. Just be popping up everywhere, Father. We'll be encouraging one another, Father. Released in that vision, Father, that our visions are not separate from the whole body's vision, Lord, but our visions will work together, Father, as a straight living stone building, Father, that you're building us together, Father, in a corporate vision and individually, Lord. Let's
yes.
pray your release
on that, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus, we say again, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Equip me.
Yeah, Lord, we pray that you would give us that supernatural, what can't come from, we can't conjure up in us, Lord, the compassion that we need. And, Lord, the ability to work diligently on our own part of the wall, and but to have our eyes looking up to see where others are signalling that they need some more workers, maybe to put a lintel in or do whatever they want to do. And especially, Lord, when Tobias and Sanballat are troubling others, Lord, help us to have that tenacity to work diligently on our part of the wall and welcome others to join us in that. Not to think that, oh, it'll just be quicker to do it myself. Lord, to have the compassion which sees what needs to grow in somebody else, and that this part of the wall is what they need at the moment to be working in. And Lord, I want to be able to still have my ears open to those positive whispers that are coming around the wall to say that over there they need a bit of help, or over there there's some intimidation, and let's go over there for now. And Lord, we just pray for that what only you can do. We can't make ourselves be able to do that or have enough compassion or energy or insight, Lord. We so need you to yes. help us with that, to let us operate on a whole new level, Lord, that we just offer ourselves to you again and say, Lord, you know, we want to do this right to the top of your ability to help us, and not somewhere kind of down on that, Lord. Help us, we pray.
Compassion gives us a new level of sightedness, new ability to see, a sensitivity, but to be aware. Hallelujah. Do you sense that God is desiring, doing something that's more about our hearts and our heads at the moment? Yeah? Say, Lord, have your way. Only you can do that. I can't do that for you. Say, Lord, have your way.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we will not be intimidated. We resist the doubts and the accusations, and with your help, we will receive your prompting and your stirring, and we will shun those doubts and those fears. We will not listen to those who accuse us, who say we're not worthy, that our bit of the wall doesn't matter, that we're not building right, that we're not building the way you want. We just say, you have said we can do it. You have said we shall do it. You've said it. So we will not give in to intimidation. And we will speak up. And we will share with one another, and we will not limit ourselves, and we will not limit one another. Father, help us to be expansive and loving in our support of one another, in our championing and encouraging, that we would not limit ourselves and what we can achieve, and we will not limit one another with your help.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Do you say amen to any of that?
Amen.
Yeah. Let's be ready to yeah. identify and see. This is about people leading us in prayer, and we join in by identifying with it. Now I know some people prefer to do it silently, but you know, let it just break out sometimes. You know.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we stand before you as those that are forgiven. Because, Lord, as we are forgiven, you say those who have forgiven much, love much. Lord, increase the extent, increase our awareness of the completeness of your forgiveness of us. That we might show that mercy to others. That we might be those that would accurately manifest your heart to those around us. That you might set us on fire with your compassion. Not with duty. Not with things that we ought, that we should, that we have to do. But rather those things that you compel us by your love, Lord. Compel us by your love. Would you inspire us? Would you cause the extent of your forgiveness, that revelation, to really begin to burn inside of us, that when the enemy would seek to taunt us with things that we regret or things from our past, that we would stand on the complete forgiveness of Jesus, that his blood has made us clean, that there is nothing that the enemy can accuse us of, because you have given us a fresh start. Yes. You have given us a completeness, a forgiveness. And Lord, as though you're forgiven people, you've made us to be free to love. You've made us to be free to love with a pure heart, without taint of any kind of love that is to give to ourselves, but rather a love that gives, a love that pours, a love that expands, a love that has no end. Lord, cause that love to increase within us. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, cause our hearts to expand. Father, cause our heart to expand, Lord. Father, cause us to see beyond the natural. Because you are leading us, help us, O God, to follow you, to see you as you lead us. Father, increase the sensitivity amongst us so that when you speak, we hear and obey, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. We remain to be the clay, you be the potter. Shape us the way you want, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord, grant us that increased compassion. You take your seats. David and Amanda are going to come and share something with us. Just as they come, part of the increase of God can come when there's a correction of alignment, and you will know if there's been a misaligning in your heart, something that has kind of gone off in a bit of a wrong direction. How will you know? Because you would have heard God speaking to you, you would have felt it. Let me help you to say, don't ignore that. See, increase is sometimes about a realignment, something that's gone down a bit of a side alley. Yeah. If you'd like us to pray with you on that, then when we finish the session, let me know and we'll pray, but it's your choice. The first choice is, and I'm only saying this because I feel that this is what God has just shown me, that there's some increase that's going to come by a realignment, some adjustment, some correction, we may have to wait on God and get something further on that, but you will know if that's the case. And this is Amanda. it's pretty tough for some people. Amanda will only ever be 21 years old to me. It's a burden to her, but from when I first knew her. I can't think of her.
My hair was very different.
And you're a granny now, aren't you?
I'm a granny, yeah.
Granny at 21.
It's the Dagenham Air. as we are thinking about vision, and I think quite closely tied with that is our sense of purpose as well. So as John mentioned, Victoria was musing on a few years ago when she'd taken part in the Crossroads course that Dave and I were using in church and in the community. And she'd looked back at one of the exercises, which was to do with a kind of activating purpose in us, really, and realised that as she'd looked back, oh, wow, I've done that. God put that in my heart, and now it looks like this. So she could see the thread of what God had woven. And we saw another example, or we heard another example from Lisa talking about, no, not Lisa, Diana, when she was talking about, well, Lisa as well, actually. Diana was talking about skating as a young girl, and yet as God sort of blew his, you know, life into it, it's never lost. So it was something around that I was just going to try and work through, really. So I think vision and purpose are quite similar. So purpose, some words that describe that are something that for which something is done or created for. So that's us. So it's to do with aspiration and hope. And it might be that perhaps we're needing a bit of that. We don't quite know what that is. We're talking about vision, but how do I get it? Or it could be for the people that we, our neighbours, it could be for the people that we work with, the kids in Lifeline School, it could be for any of those things. But one of the, there's two things which I'll talk you through. One of the exercises was like a timeline of your life, and I'll do it slightly differently today, and I haven't, the piece of paper's the wrong way round, so I might just have to kind of squish it in a little bit. But it takes people through the opportunity of kind of looking at, well, what have I got in my hand till now? What dreams, what skills, what experiences I have, what things have I learned along the way till now? And time again, where we've done this in the community, people are like, oh yeah, I didn't realise that actually I do still feel really passionate about that thing and it could be used. So if I was to come over here. This might not stop it there.
Chocolate mic here.
Where does this go?
Pocket or
right. Okay. Is that working?
Yeah.
So really the piece of paper should be the other way because it's going to be a long thing, but I will try and do it this way. So it's like a timeline of your life. So it could be for us to think about, but you could also be thinking that for people in your group or people that you're trying to activate, because I think this isn't just for us. We want to actually be able to give this to the people that we're caring for, that we're reaching out to, and so on. So if this is my life, there might be various things along the way, and I'll use my life as an example, and then I'll show you how I see what God did and is doing. So there are particular events or things that have happened in my life which I would plot either side of the line, and not in a way as to, oh gosh, isn't it awful, by putting, you know, some not so great things here and some wonderful things above, but just as a kind of snapshot of, okay, this is kind of how it's been and it's real. So one of my experiences I'll put here at the beginning, I'm not going to be able to write in it because it won't be big enough, but I didn't have a very positive experience in primary school. So I was a very nervous child, and I didn't dare answer a question because you'd get shouted at if you got it wrong, and that's the kind of school I went to. So I can put that there as a not very happy experience, but I now know that that is not, you know, who I am, and there's more than that, but we'll pop that one there for now. I could move on, and I happened, when I was a little girl, actually, I wanted to be a waitress. Interesting, isn't it? I also worked in a hospital kitchen, which I absolutely loved. And the thing that I liked most was connecting, because back in the olden days, you got to take the meals round and talk to the patients, like, how useful is that, how healing is that, that you would take the trolley around and actually, and that was the bit that I liked best. And I used to pretend I was a doctor because I got to wear a white coat and I could take the trolley around. So we'll add that in. So if you can remember the bits that I'm saying, because I haven't got room to write them, but you can see how these things are kind of stacking up way back when, before I was 21. And then if some, many of you will know, if I call this today, I'll draw a big line there, and this is my future. Many will know the struggles that we had over the years, not with one of our boys, but in some measure all three of our boys with quite serious mental health issues. Jeremy's was 17 years that we waited for God to break in. So when I used to draw this timeline in Crossroads, I would not just do that as a moment in time, I would do that as a great slab of something which, if you look at it naturally, is not a good thing in my life, but it's there and I acknowledge it. And then we had similar with our second son Toby going on at the same time, and adding to that a few bereavements and redundancies and upheavals, maybe, you know, financial strain for different years. So there's quite a few bits that are going on here, and lots of good stuff as well. But I think John was saying in his talk, just pick this out, he said, what you suffer for becomes what you're passionate for. And if we're to kind of overlay, when I was at school and they did geography, they used to have like an acetate thing and they'd draw like the mountains and then they'd lay another thing over the top so you could get, you know, a quite technical picture in those days. But if I was to lay the acetate of God's hand in my life over this, some of these things that God weaves in order for me to become full of vision and purpose, how different can these things be, that these have kind of compelled me to do lots of the things that I do today? So last night when we were crying out to God, I was thinking about the whole thing of mental health, and we're not done on that. And I know, because it's a testimony in my family, that I live with and I see every week or every day, that it is possible to walk free and to not live in that. And every day, as I'm in the coffee shop being a waitress, I am meeting the isolated, I am meeting people with their mental health struggles. And yet there's a in me that this is not it, there's more. So I think what I wanted to kind of show you was that this, propels me into what's happening next, so we can take those very things that may have been struggles, that may have been painful, that may have been difficult. Maybe we can't see what that is yet, but kind of be asking God to blow into what that was in order to take me forward. So this becomes, you know, we've talked about DNA, haven't we? This becomes part of my story that I'm not going to lay down, because here I am today. And I haven't yet seen the freedom for people that I know and that I care for and that I see every day in the area of mental health. But I know that God can do it, because he did it here for me. Well, three, you know, for all three of my sons in some way or other. So that's the timeline, really. And the fact that there's no obstacle, you know, nothing is an obstacle to God. What in this season can propel me into what's next? So I think it's kind of an opportunity to kind of review, if you like, where we are. There could be some, you know, aspirations or job roles or some training which I might have tucked away in the back of my mind and not touched for years, or some skills that I have. But it's quite a useful way of thinking, but this is the important bit, but what next? Because this is all that made me. So I have some questions which I think are quite helpful along the whole idea of purpose. There's a few, and I don't know if we can, I can't really write them up, so I don't, could they be put up somehow? Yeah. So when we would be faced perhaps with a blank page, and one of the most exciting seasons that I got to use the Crossroads course was when I was with the work programme. So I would have a group of 20, mainly guys, sometimes a few women, who did not want to be there, were angry, and life was tough for them. And something rose up in me that I loved it. So, you know, I was almost overcoming my own battle, if you like, in terms of doing the course. But that they were the greatest. So to speak purpose over some of those guys and to look them in the eye, it was like water into a sponge. But what have you loved doing? Well, I used to play the guitar. Well, where is it now? Well, it's under my bed. Why don't you get it out again? Just to kind of kickstart something. And I would see a difference. It was like a kind of drink that they were having. So I think this purpose, because there is, you know, it's not just for us. There's a purpose for everyone, isn't there? And that's part of the thing we're talking about for the compassion. So some questions that might help are, no particular order. Is there a problem that is yours to solve or improve?
Is that for us
personally? No, for you. So, for example, Lisa saw the park.
Yeah.
But she didn't just think, oh. It's a bit like me with Green Lane, but I just don't quite know how to regenerate it yet. But I do feel like that when I walk down there every day. It bothers me and it's not okay and I want to see it different. So it could be injustice, it could be people left out, it could be children who don't have a parent to read with them, it could be anything. But is there a problem that's yours to solve or improve? This isn't so much a question, but purpose is usually bigger than you are. So it's a stretch beyond where you are now. And sometimes it niggles away. And the phrase we use, it will call to you your whole life. It will keep coming round and nudging you and sometimes giving you opportunity. And because it's not about our selfish achievements, it will involve you and others, which fits completely with what we've been talking. So we want to make a difference in someone else's life too. It's not just about me fulfilling my mission or my role. Another question, which I think John used as well, what do I want to be known for? If people talk about me, what would they say? Oh, she's... And this one, your purpose is often your biggest battleground. So sometimes it's the war between what you know you can do and the thoughts that come and tell you that you can't. But we want to listen to the voice of truth. So there will often be a tension over that thing that you know is yours to do. Well, I can't, or it's too difficult, or it's too big, and I'll just kind of put it aside. So I once worked with an amazing primary school teacher, and I was her TA at the time, and she was amazing in the classroom. She was brilliant, and it was her NQT year, and every morning I'd come into the classroom and I'd think, where is she? And I'd hear this sobbing from the cupboard, the store cupboard, and I'd like say, Hannah? Yes? Where are you? I'm in here, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I would say, yes, you can, come out. And then the bell would go and the kids would start coming in, and she was like, right. And she was amazing. And then the next morning I'd go in and she was back in the store cupboard. I can't do it, I can't do it. And I'd say, yes, you can come out, you did it yesterday. Yes, I did, I know I can. Right, okay, pencil cases down on your desk, da, 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 da. But it was that battle between what was her calling to do and the fear that was stopping her from doing it. So I think that's where that battleground... I don't actually enjoy standing here. Seriously. I don't. But I know that when I have to, you know, I don't want to miss out on what God has and how he wants to use me. So there is that battle. And I love this quote. We need friends around us who can throw petrol on our dreams and water on our fears. Another question. What am I doing on a great day? What gives me energy? So, I think that's it really, yeah. I'll just extract myself.
You know when Amanda was saying, I was trying to think how she put it, something that is like a purpose that it just niggles away at you. And then when she said, I don't like standing here, it came back to me, that has been my purpose for her for a long time. And I get really excited when it's achieved. Now, I don't think that's, you know, I have decided that this is what she must do. I think I saw something. And every time she steps forward, I think, yeah, that's what I saw. See, purpose or vision will help us to kind of niggle away at something, and it takes us beyond somebody saying, nah, 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 because you see something. Where does that come from? I think that's what we're in the business of, hearing God and seeing what God's doing. Now, why not have a little look at those questions? Because we're a very kind of friendly group, we work very well when we're kind of got that kind of stimulus of people kind of interacting with us. Yeah? So rather than just do it on your own, why not just perhaps do that in little groups and try and help and support? Is that all right, Amanda, to do it like that? Just try and help one another and kind of nudge one another. Take a few minutes on that. You probably need to move a little bit from where you are to do that. Otherwise, you're inevitably bound to the person who's sitting next to you, which may or may not be a blessing. Yes, Miss Webster.
It would help me if you could give me some guidance as to how much time we're going to spend doing that, so that I can make sure that everybody that I'm talking with has a chance to share something.
Yes, I think that's a good approach. Coupled with, let the others go first, and if... but no, sensible thing. Let's say we've got 10 minutes. Yeah? So probably we're looking at twos and threes rather than big groups. Twos and threes rather than big groups. And if you want to do it on your own, that's fine. If you prefer to just do it on your own... Okay. Claire? That sounded quite animated. Yeah? Was that valuable to anybody?
Yes.
I just wanted to share something that happened over Christmas, which I think links into the whole having vision for other people. Phil has a very strong vision for me, and I fight it sometimes. But over time, I've learned that actually, often when he tells me to do things, even if I don't understand, if he's brought it in a certain way, then I know that I can trust him and things follow. So over Christmas, he came into my classroom with me just to collect some bits. And he was looking around, he's like, oh, it's a bit tatty, and here needs a bit of a paint job. And the lights are a bit... I know, it's not good. And he's talking about the lights being dim, and I was saying, yeah, the board doesn't work properly, you know, picking up on all those little things. And he's like, you really need to get this sorted out. But he was like really serious, and I was like, oh, there's so many other things that are so much more important within the school. You know, we're really low on money at the moment, and we could do with more staffing, and there are other rooms in the school that are like a lot worse than my room that could get sorted out. I don't think that anyone's really going to listen to me. But he was quite strong on it when he brought it. And so I was like, okay. And it felt like one of those things, like, I don't see what he is saying at all here. I actually feel like I don't really want to do this, but he's obviously seeing something that I'm not seeing, so I'll do it. And so I emailed the head, and he came and spoke to me, and he kind of explained some of the things that they would do and some of the things they might need to wait to do. But it wasn't about having an amazing classroom. Phil he's told me he has, his vision is more around that he sees that I've got something to bring within the community, to the families within the community, in the school. I don't know how that's going to happen, but this was something around being empowered, because when I did that, I can't see the connection at the moment, but when I did that, there was something that was released within me where I just felt more kind of like that I was meant to be there in that school. And it doesn't make sense logically why emailing a teacher about painting the classroom would mean that, but there is something when someone has a vision for you and they bring something and you listen, you know, it's quite a powerful thing.
If you think that ties in what Sally was saying about vision, is not just something for us, it can have an effect on helping to motivate others as well. A little while ago, I spoke about compassion being increased by hearts being realigned. Judy just came and asked for prayer, prayed with her for something that had she saw as a need for a realignment of heart. But out of that, is that Chris? Can we join? But out of that, God also shown us some things. So I wanted to just come and, can you come share that now? Was he singing to himself or what? That's nice, yeah.
I think it was Lady Gaga saying something about being psycho. It's like, it's my theme tune has just bubbled up.
Does that mean you've got non-Christian music?
So, coming into this weekend, I just really felt to take the position before God that I don't want to come away with more information or more enthusiasm. I need surgery. I need God to fundamentally change how I see him, how I relate with him. And just aware that my basis is one of striving. And it's always been a bit of a thing, God meets me and it's a little bit better for a while and then I realize I'm doing it again. And relating that to approval and kind of separately to that, I think God had just reminded me of a few things from when I was young. And John was pointing out it's very similar to Amanda's graph and recognizing that God had been perhaps highlighting some of those things that had happened on the negative side, but he wants to lay over it his identity for me and his basis for me. And I suppose this week all I've been feeling is I don't want to do one more thing unless it's out of relationship with him, out of a place of wholeness. I don't want to spend my life trying to please someone who's already pleased and just wants me to live out of there. It feels like the basis is just a bit hard work. And I don't really have a lot of clarity, but this morning when we were worshipping, I just really kept getting quite drawn to Isaiah 54. And I felt maybe there's a healing God wants to do for more than just me, but I'm taking this for me as well. This is, I'm just going to read it, I think, and then you can take what is for you from it as I have taken what's for me from it. And let's just see really what God says. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. And I felt that the things that God highlighted was for those of us who may relate with feeling barren, living in fear or having fearful thoughts, those of us who've carried shame from our youth, those who may feel like a wife who's been deserted, those who've lived with distress or rejection, who feel abandoned or have memories of abandonment. God is saying that he comes with a deep compassion, like a husband. He is my Redeemer. He will call you back and he will bring you back. He will have compassion on you, for he is not angry. He won't rebuke you. His unfailing love will not be shaken. He has created a covenant of peace with me, and he will shower me with everlasting kindness.
Let's pray. Father, we ask for now as different ones identify by the power of your Spirit for that realignment of heart, that healing of heart, that taking of those things which were intended for evil to be used for good, even as we've been looking at this day in the life of Joseph. Just reach out to him now. If you're identifying with one of those things, just in the quietness of your own heart, just flag that up. It's very important, the importance of confession of need. It's a kingdom principle. Just take a moment, say, I identify with that. That has somehow misaligned my heart. I'm reaching out now for healing. So come, Lord, we ask. Confirm your word with signs following, and let now that release and healing into those situations, correcting of those misalignments where there's been a part of the heart that's been somehow hijacked into a contrary direction. Lord, let this increase of compassion now fill the whole heart. Let there be nothing divided. Lord, let there be a wholeness and a completeness and an increase. That, Lord, the things which even were intended in the past for evil would now be used in the purpose and goodness of our God. Grant it, Lord, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. some serious stuff, guys. God doesn't play games. You know? God is a God of love. He kind of gets his sleeves rolled up and gets involved. It's a very, very key time. You do well. As God has done something, and you know that God has done something, that you make sure you glorify him. Yeah? It's a good thing to give thanks and to declare, especially in the congregation of the saints, to declare a wonderful thing to gain a release. Those of us that have known that, we revel in the fact that once I was bound, but now I'm free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many times do you go back and think, oh, God set me free? Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Now I'm going to set you free to go from here to the place of luncheon without passing go.